The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive line.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Türen schließen! Das Blumenpflücken für der Fahrt ist verboten!
State of war would exist between us. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now,
a walk in the Black Forest.
The bird.
Yes,
the bird is the word. I said the bird. Bird is the word.
Are we recording?
Have you heard about the... Sorry, I'll stop now.
Good evening and welcome to A Walk in the Black Forest, episode 306 or possibly 307, version 3.6 or is it 3.7?
3.7. 307.
Thank you.
3.7.
Mm. On tonight's show...
Oh, no, versions. The versions, 307.
On tonight's show...
I fell for that.
Pete puts his fragile self-esteem in your hands and presents a brand new segment. The post-Obama love fest continues. Scientists prove that too much money is no barrier to stupid experiments. Richard's science segment, red hot go, all that and a really uncomfortable White House photo shoot. All that tonight on A Walk in the Black Forest, 2RRR 88.5 FM. See, that was practiced. I told you it would be practiced.
And it was the long intro too. I like it.
Do you like that?
No, do it again. Yeah, but then again, see, Alec Baldwin usually shits on 30 Rock, but they don't actually shoot that bit.
Oh.
Yeah.
They should shoot that bit. It improves the comedy value of it.
Actually, there'd be a lot of money to be made from that on the internet, but if it was actually Billy Baldwin, more. Even more money. He's the more popular Baldwin. This is the Walk in the Forest.
He is not. You made that up.
No.
No one even knows who Billy Baldwin is.
Although, interestingly, when Sarah Palin...
Wasn't he a Prime Minister?
He was. He was the Prime Minister of... He was the last Prime Minister of Czechoslovakia.
When Sarah Palin went on Saturday Night Live...
Who?
Exactly. And I think you should know Saturday Night Live doesn't deserve a who. Deserves a what. But Saturday Night Live...
No, it doesn't. They're not that funny.
No, they're not. I just said a what.
All right.
But she was asked, she met Alec Baldwin, she was asked who was her favourite Baldwin, she actually said Daniel.
Yes, I saw the skit.
I know. See, I don't know, would you say Daniel's more popular than Alec?
No, I actually, you know, this is the really weird thing. Mm. The Baldwins mm-hmm. and the Estevezes.
Yeah, confuse you?
I get confused. I don't know who's who.
Mm.
Mm. You know, they're cousins, right?
Are they?
Yes.
Didn't know they were cousins. Did you know they were cousins?
I didn't know they're
cousins. The Baldwins, the Esteveses, and the Sheens are all related.
Sheens and the Esteveses are definitely related.
Well,
I'm not surprised because all of those guys do have all these weird relationships, and I'm always, you know, I'm not surprised anymore. Oh, such and such is the son of such and such. Oh, really?
Huh.
Wow, well, fuck them all.
Did you know...
Did not as good.
You know that an ant had a G.I. Joe collection? No,
yes.
Just kidding. Did you know that Leonardo DiCaprio had one of the largest original 4 years worth of G.I. Joe collections? Mm. So from 1982 to 1987, I know that that's technically 5 years, but in it's four waves of G.I. Joe figures, and he sold them.
Did he?
Yes. Not to me.
To what?
No, they were on an auction site and he sold them.
Oh,
I'm very disappointed. How much he got for them? And they were all in their packets. Yes, mint on card, ladies. This is A Walk in the Black Forest. This week, mint on card.
Are we?
I have no idea what he's saying.
I've lost too. See, action figures were just...
You just play along and I'll jump in and pretend I'm...
Mint on card.
Yeah.
PK. Now... as we were.
I don't know. I think he fell for it.
I think he might have fallen for it, yeah. You what? Your figures aren't PK? Oh, come on. What sort of collector do you think you are?
PK chewing gum.
Oh, yeah, I got it. No, no. Yeah, yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm just helping.
Pal,
just helping you.
Brian,
now, ladies and gentlemen,
can I just say at this point,
boy. Yes,
we should do a 20-minute introduction of next week's show.
Oh, sure. Oh. No worries.
And including the banter that we've already done so far, that should bring us up close to the end of the show.
It should get us up to the end of the show. That's exactly right. Because as we announced at the top of our web-only show...
Oh, what did you think of it?
Well, the web-only show?
Hmm.
I haven't listened. I haven't bothered listening to it.
Oh.
Right. No. Did we do a web-only show?
Yes.
You did, yeah. Is it any good?
I downloaded it 14 times.
I was wondering why it's only been downloaded 3. So,
was it a good download, do we know?
Yeah, it did really well, actually.
Oh, okay.
A lot of better downloads. It's really important to say for those of you who do listen to Terrestrial Illusion, and this is maybe your first time, or you're back for the first time in a couple of weeks, go to our website, warpedbyforest.org. There is our special post-election show on there, and it will actually be played tonight from midnight
right,
as well.
Good.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Here you go. You can listen to it
in stereo. Did you send the script around? I mean, how am I going to remember all the lines?
I don't know. I think... Actually, no. I've got big idiot cards for you. There's no script.
Hey, I will not be called a big idiot in front of these people.
And I've got the black marker for him as well.
Really?
So you can be called a big idiot in front of me, Abe. I don't mind.
Thanks.
So, as we did actually say at the start of last week's Terrestrial show...
Run!
And oh, by the way, that was run by Spider-Bait. Last week's Terrestrial show, that... since the election has now finished, the American election has passed, the Australian election was well over, there isn't much left to talk about.
Ah, now you would think so, wouldn't you, young
You would
man?
Think so,
you
but
think
Abe is actually carrying the biggest wad that he's carried for months.
Well, look, I haven't got some recently.
Maybe he's been saving up.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, every week he goes, do we have to talk
it's
about
been building
politics?
Up.
Can I
do
just
have to
tell
talk
you?
About even on the day of the election, do we have to talk about politics?
No. In fact, I'm going to start with something that you would call somewhat... not necessarily funny, but there you go. Now,
Ron, that's been the description about me for years.
This
but
week...
Not necessarily funny, but not interesting either.
Yeah.
This week, the Coogee Bay Hotel...
And that's not funny, because it's true.
No, and I've got a tiny dick.
I'm just going to cut that out and play it later.
You should just loop it.
Yes, for the next hour and a half.
Loop old limpet.
Can we make an art
now,
piece out of it?
As we know, this week...
I could do, like, you know, drum sound.
Look at you. Look at you. You are on... If anyone who knows Pete, as you would coming into this show,
yes.
Pete brings in literally a ream
yep.
of paper
yep.
every single week. He
yep.
sits here at the desk here,
the desk,
as
yep.
we've already got
on
him. We've already done our pre-production.
In Studio 74.
But as we've gone in,
yep.
he's still leafing through. There's paper everywhere. There's piles and all sorts of things. There's so much paper, I don't know how he even gets through it, let alone
mm-hmm.
does it on the show.
Yep.
Today he's walked in with what is probably just a half scrap of A4 paper.
Yeah, you know what?
And even I think that's just your shopping list.
It
really.
Is. Can I actually point out at this point in time that I actually feel liberated?
Yes, I was going to say, and that's my point I was going to get to, but you've just
yep.
ruined the whole thing.
Yep.
You look like you've just had a mammoth dump.
I've just burnt my
dump.
Bra. I've
you've
just
had a mammoth dump,
and I've just burnt my bra.
And you've just burnt your bra.
I feel liberated, Richard.
You know,
Abe, I feel liberated.
Yeah.
I feel free.
I'm
I feel.
Glad. I'm glad.
You know. I was trying to actually...
But you know what the key thing
I've
is?
I've even got a new name.
It's because you're dipping in on everything.
I know, but
you're
I've got a new name
in on
too.
Everything. Tug.
My name's Tug Davis.
Yeah, Tug Davis.
I'm Tug Davis.
Tugger.
Did I? I bought this shirt twice. Damn. Didn't wash it either.
Passing back to Abe in the studio.
Yes, now, Abe, as you were saying.
You're an idiot. Now, interestingly enough, this week, saw the Coogee Bay Hotel pay a large,
yes.
undisclosed amount to a certain family for an apparent indiscretion involving some kind of fecal matter on their ice cream.
A bunch of local eastern suburbs people ate shit, allegedly.
Technically. Now, apparently...
No, it was technically shit. They did actually...
How much of a gap do you legally have to leave between the claim... and the allegedly. Like, for example, could I say, an eastern suburbs couple ate some shit?
Well, that would technically be libelous.
Allegedly.
That would not cover you.
but the fact
okay.
that...
Well, I won't use that example.
But
then.
The fact that they have actually now had compensation paid means that the allegedly is no longer allegedly.
No.
No?
No.
No, they're not accepting responsibility for the turd.
No,
all,
in fact,
all
you
we
don't
know
have
is
to.
There was an alleged agreement.
Oh.
Just because an amount was paid does not mean that the party that paid it are necessarily guilty. It just means that they gave money.
It's without prejudice.
Yes.
Ah.
In fact, so, sir.
There we go.
Now, Australia is not the only place that's had its own Coogee Bay style incident.
Fecal
yes,
urgency.
Yes, a payoff.
There's been some fecal urgency elsewhere.
An amount of money paid for a certain fecal indiscretion. In fact, this week in the UK, someone paid £31,000.
Which is worth about 4.2 million Australian currently, right. I believe.
Yeah.
For a sketch of Winnie the Pooh.
Nice.
See,
wow.
It's spreading around the world.
All over
allegedly.
The world.
See, you know what the
allegedly.
Problem is?
What is written here?
You know what the problem is, though? The problem is, people are pulling their money out of the stock market. They're desperately looking for things to invest in. They can't invest in banks. They can't invest in arcs. So they now have to invest in poo.
But they better be careful.
They've got to invest in poo because that's about the only...
But to be honest, they have to be careful because the bottom will fall out of the poo market.
Can we make any more poo jokes?
Now...
What? Apart from my one.
Yeah. Can we not?
Right. Exactly right.
Now, interestingly enough, gentlemen, yay verily.
Gentlemen.
I tell you, yay verily, brethren. Yeah. Mm. It's obvious who'd buy a sketch of poo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who would buy it?
Well, it's obvious.
It's obvious. It's absolutely no point discussing it. I think
Tigger.
A German couple.
A German.
That's right. Yeah, German couple have bought this £31,200.
I believe the translation
sketch.
Into German is "Vini das Kaviar."
Really?
Never let it be said, but the Germans, the Germans would never buy poo.
They'd never. Vini das Kaviar. I'll do it again because it was funny. It was funny first time. I thought I'd do it second time.
Do it a second time.
Yeah. Now, not only is
do
it, it
a, do it a third.
No, I'll wait for the time.
No, run it by.
No, it'll come.
Run.
It'll come in a second. Don't worry. Just give me a bit of time.
It's alleged.
Not only is
drop it in.
Not only is
wipe it out.
A picture.
Yes.
Of said or
Winnie
a
Das
Caviar. Sketch of Winnie Das Caviar.
See, now he's doing it.
Excellent. Not only.
You know, well, a picture tells 1,000 words.
There's a lot of not onlys in the last 3.5 minutes.
Only if it's got 1,000 words written on it.
And the German couple bought it. In fact, the German collector bought it for his wife. There's a sexual
German collector.
That's right. There's a sexual. Undertone.
What, he likes Winnie Das Caviar?
Wait for it.
I'm waiting.
The pencil drawing of the bear dipping his paw in a honey pot.
Yeah. Oh.
See what I mean? Oh. It's not just a simple guy with a drawing of poo.
No.
No.
Now,
on that sexual nature, you remember the ad?
For Winnie Das Caviar?
No. Where the tagline is, Winnie the Pooh is known for its poo.
That's very true. Now, can I ask you a serious question here? Did this come from the Daily Telegraph?
No.
Did it come from...
Pooh's Bottom, I would imagine.
Pooh's Bottom. It may well have come from Pooh's Bottom.
The Hand of Mill.
I was going to say...
The Hand of Mill.
If the Telegraph did report this, I'd like to know how they would report this.
Mm.
You know, would they say, perhaps sensationalise it? Would it be sort of like, Jordan can't believe her childhood hero... is into poo. You know, because
well,
you've got to add something to it, or perhaps, you know.
How's this for a headline?
Delta Goodrum in shock poo.
No, it'd be
scandal.
It'd be German couple eat shit and die.
No, I think it would be Germany in the shit again.
Oh, nice.
I think that would be. Nice. But the lucky thing about this story is not only was it in the Daily Telegraph, I made it up.
A walk in the Black Forest.
Never let it be said. That we let the truth get in the way of a good story.
That's right. And thank you to the BBC.
Now,
who made that up?
Oh, well done.
For me.
Thanks to the BBC.
You know,
I appreciate that.
Aren't nearly as cheap as you'd expect them to be.
No.
Stealing from Fox, our new tagline.
Yep.
We write it, we tell it.
We exactly right. It. Now, I'm going to ask you boys a question, if I may be so bold.
No.
Should have thought that through, really.
Work on it.
Or a new tagline.
Yeah.
We write it, we report it.
Nice. That's good. That's funny. That's good. You should copyright that. Now, I want to ask you a question, guys.
Yeah, I'm sure that was funnier 2 weeks ago when we did that joke.
I'm sure it was. But then again, see, then we had George Bush in the White House. And now...
No.
So, I want to ask you a question.
I'm still excited, by the
one
way.
One of the most important aspects, I think, of government...
Oh, I got a new tagline?
Yep, sure.
We write it, you listen.
Nice. That's good. I like that. Still funny. It you know, it resonates.
Does it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, right.
I think that's what it does. It's
like a case of herpes in a monastery.
That's resonating. Now, I want to ask you a question. Government. I'm on the idea of government here.
Okay.
I'm talking about government for a second.
It's time for old folks.
Government,
we love them.
What is the main purpose, philosophically speaking?
See, now, Pete, this is interesting because what you've done here, it's your first week off.
Yes.
Right, after 2 years
yep.
of following the polls. And what's the first thing you've done?
Not only did he follow...
Tangent, back to government.
I know.
Not only did he follow the polls, but from the very beginning, Pete predicted how this was going to end.
I did.
Yes. And he still got it wrong.
I know. I did well, didn't I? I thought you were going to actually make a joke about the polls and the checks.
Mm. No, I'm leaving the checks out. I actually have a problem with the checks at the moment.
Do you?
Yes. Well, I actually have a contractual agreement with Hungary.
Ah, fair enough.
And believe me, I'm starving.
Yeah. Oh, boom. Now, I'm going to ask about government.
I'll tell you what, when Winnie the Pooh's hungry, you got to check your balances.
And that silence tells it all. Now,
run.
You know, during that entire silence, I actually read the complete version of Henry V, Part 1.
Right. Right. Right.
Just right.
What was your favourite line?
Yea, doth verily walking through the land of Winnie Dust. Caviar eater.
Yeah, fully.
Now, the amazing thing...
Scheisse?
The amazing Winnie. Thing about Henry V, as you know, mm-hmm. was he was a monarch, but yep. now we have government.
Exactly. Thank you. Whew. Now, government.
If you mention the US election...
No. This is actually entirely Australia. I will not be talking about the US election at all.
I will be.
One of the major roles of government, people. What is the major role of government? Mr. Abe. Your hand is in the air.
Sorry, Bueller, that is a yawn.
Bueller. Bueller.
The major is to support the people.
Exactly right. What's the first line
what
of the...
What's the answer what, you're looking for?
No, that is the good answer.
Right.
What is the first line? And I will actually just vaguely tangentialise to America, not the election, just America.
Pete, you know, give you an inch.
Yeah, I know, and I'll take another
mile. Or if you say, give you a centimetre,
and you take
a foot.
Exactly. Now... what is the first line of the American Constitution?
Oh, Ein Reich, Ein Ro... Oh, no.
No, wrong America.
Oh.
It's we the people. It's about people, right? So, obviously, government has a responsibility for people. And obviously, when government spends government money, which, of course, is effectively earned through the taxing the efforts of people, either through corporate taxation or through personal taxation, generally, there is an element of the fact that money should be spent in a... responsible and society-centred way.
Should be sent back to the public.
Sure.
Okay. Exactly.
So
Unless you're in a Conservative Party.
Roads, schools, tanks.
Exactly right. Mm. So let's look currently at what sort of organisations help people.
The Salvation Army.
Okay, you've got charities.
The Salvation Navy.
Yes, and the Salvation Air Force, to rip off the entire set of goodies jokes.
The Communist Party.
They generally help people in
so many
ways. The
Socialist Workers Party?
Well, ask Barack Obama about that. Mm. But, yes.
Social services.
Social services, perhaps. Mm. What, public transport?
Yes.
Health.
Police.
McDonald's.
Police. Exactly right. Police. Fireys. Teachers.
My laundry.
Don't know any, but teachers.
Yes.
So, I need to ask you. Yes.
Department of Social Security.
Helping people who are struggling to find work.
That's a donkey with a broken leg.
Only if that donkey rescues Australian soldiers from certain death in jungle wars. Then they're quite... What the hell was that?
A donkey.
Abe has managed to breed a donkey and a walrus.
I'm
and he's come up with
that.
A warlonkey.
A warlonkey. That's a good one. I like that.
I like it.
Now, the government today...
Or a donkerous.
No, it's a wonky.
As we know, the government's given away about $10 billion of our surplus as an economic stimulus package.
Sure.
And of course, make people spend and thus increase our thing.
Our thing. That's it. That's the technical term, and Glenn McFarlane would be using that in the next Reserve Bank discussion.
If Glenn Milne can, I can.
Exactly right.
Just so long as they don't get sick
while
they're doing it.
I think
you keep going, I'll come back.
Some silence again, Abe. I think this is some... So they spent $10 billion of the surplus. There's only $20 billion on the surplus. They found a $40 billion black hole last week. Uh-huh. Swanee just went around the corner behind the fridge and said, "Oh shit, there's $40 billion missing."
Yeah.
Bit of a problem. So when you're thinking about things that actually during an impending potential recession, you might want to do to look after the population. Now there are two basic models of thought here. Uh-huh. I'm just gonna indulge me for a second.
Nationalizing the banks,
possibly.
Conscription.
Conscription, nice. But not the answer.
Oh.
You two would both fail Economics 101. You might with that one. but the first of those, if you follow the
Keynes... Legalise marijuana?
if you're in the Netherlands, yes. What Keynes basically says is the thing you do during a recession is the government spends money on infrastructure.
Yes, yes.
You spend money on infrastructure, you build roads and rail and whatever else. Because
buildings.
Buildings, because that gets population out there. Of course, as we know...
Public toilets.
When we talk about Red Hot, there's some very interesting stuff about how
public
obviously Keynesian. He's a Keynesian philosopher. Mm. The second thing you can do, of course, is that you have a social responsibility because people are losing their jobs. They're going to be struggling to pay for basic...
Put them in the buildings.
Particularly when the buildings collapse.
And put them in the trains.
Why don't you actually get them make the buildings as architects? Because, you know, that's a good opportunity, good training.
Make them build the buildings and live in them themselves.
And then die when they fall down.
Lock them in.
Yes, you did. Oh, lock them in. I like that.
You can do what the New South Wales government
has done
for the past 12 years, and that's expand suburbs without expanding water and rail and buses and electricity and any of those social services. Let's do that.
I think that's fantastic.
And just remember, when a city expands, there's more than four directions it can expand.
That's very true. There's up and down. Don't forget about up and down.
Except into the ocean.
No. Reclaim the land. Or build giant island buildings. Mm. Just like floating 45-story towers.
No, it's been done. It's called an island.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Mm. Or Dubai. So
that's true.
Yeah, exactly. So, my point here, people, is the other thing you can do, apart from what Keynes says, is that you can actually look after the population that are going to struggle through a recession. Because obviously the people who are going to struggle through a recession really aren't, you know, your rich... It's not going to be Kerry Stokes. Mm. Kerry Stokes isn't going to be looking for, you know, ways to make bubble and squeak. Mm. You know, because, he might lose a few billion, but he's certainly not going to be poor. I haven't asked him,
I think it's really cruel that you've released his secret name for Peter Tapano as Bubble and Squeak. That's just cruel.
It is cruel. So, they're going to be spending their money...
She's still around.
Yeah.
They're going to be spending the government should be spending money on social services to protect the people who are worse off during recession. So, I actually would like to congratulate Captain Planet on doing that. Mm. He's a true Labour politician. He's taken the Keynesian approach, and he's also taken the social... I think it's known as the social capital approach or the social welfare approach, and actually done that because he has actually invested $6 billion.
Yep.
And willing to take us into deficit for this to protect, I think, an industry that in many, many ways provides essential social services to people. It is, in many ways, the safety net.
Mm. Oh, great. Yeah. I'm really excited.
What it's going to do and what this $6 billion is actually going to do is it is going to basically ensure that the most underprivileged, the people at the greatest risk of losing their livelihoods, the people who are going to...
Just get to the gate.
...struggle.
So what you're saying is...
Do the gay
garden. Okay.
They're saying is...
Let's take it up and then bring it down.
What they're saying is they've invested as much money in this as you have in the build-up to this tag.
Correct.
Right.
Exactly right. $6 billion worth of jokes in this very tag alone.
Trust me, I'm exhausted already.
Can I just say, $6 billion worth, but also 15 minutes worth.
Yeah, exactly. And $6 billion well spent, I say. So...
Have you ever thought Michael Caine was discompassionate, really?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say...
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
That was the worst Michael Caine impersonation I've ever heard. Not bad, actually. Better than my Tony Blair, though. So
that's not hard.
You don't do a Tony Blair.
Hello, my name's Tony Blair.
You don't do a Tony Blair.
Exactly. Oh my god!
Well, I either do. I'm Tony Blair.
What were the other ones you didn't do? You didn't do a George Bush, and you didn't do a Kevin Rudd, and you didn't do a John Howard.
I do impressions. Ah, dear. Anyway, so, $6 billion into the most socially relevant organisation in this country.
Yep.
Do you want to take a guess?
Oh.
Yes.
The gaming industry.
Close, but no cigar.
Ooh. Richard, what do you think it is?
Heroin trafficking.
More fun, but no cigar.
Ooh, traffic lights.
Getting closer.
Oh, buses.
Nuclear power.
Oh.
No. What they've invested...
The car industry.
Thank you. Nice. $15 billion worth of jokes. just wasted.
It's
a bit like Rouse Hill, really.
Yeah,
what's Rouse Hill?
$15 billion worth of money wasted. The government has actually spent $6 billion into the car industry to prop up three companies, of which none are located in this country. So we're putting our...
But isn't that a good thing?
What?
Isn't that a good thing that that we're investing it? Because GM in the US is going broke.
Exactly correct.
Now, if they're going broke, we can prop up our own automotive. Oh, do you know what we can do?
Mm-hmm.
Holden can buy GM. It could be Holden General Motors. And then we can have the profits all over the world.
Nice. See, the other thing is, of course, Ford, great Australian company.
Oi.
Yeah, traditional Australian company, been around as an Australian company. Well, never, really.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been an American company.
Mm.
But the more important thing, Pete,
yes,
is that I ruined your tag for you.
That's good. No,
I'm working with it. Come on. So I'm with you.
But to be fair,
yes.
1/5 of that,
yep,
is going to greengrocers, apparently.
Greengrocers?
I heard on the news.
Nice.
Yeah, greengrocers. So anybody who wants to build something that's green,
yep,
like a building,
yep,
I get all those,
or a car, perhaps. No, green, that's stupid. They can't make green cars. Fuck
green
that.
Car. No, you can get the green paint. I've seen.
I've heard that British Racing Green.
Yeah, you can get a green.
My car's British Racing Green.
Gets a fifth of that. So
isn't that? So Abe's going to get a fifth of it.
Isn't that environmentally responsible?
Fantastic, because you got a green car.
I do.
Isn't that cool?
Isn't that environmentally responsible?
What was interesting is that the editor of the Car Buyer's Dog and Lemon Guide, Clive Matthew Wilson, who's a well-known writer on the car industry,
and obviously very positive in his outlook on all things,
has basically said that it doesn't matter whether you throw $6 billion or $600 billion at car plants, they are still going to be economically unfeasible.
Yeah, but we're still going to buy cars. It doesn't matter the economic. See, on the serious side,
yeah,
it doesn't actually matter that they're economically unfeasible because we're still going to buy cars.
True.
Australia still needs to have a manufacturing industry that can make cars so that if we ever need a manufacturing industry that uses combustion engines, say, for a war or something like that, then we actually still have the industry.
But here's my question for you. So, in the last budget, the federal government sliced and diced arts, social programs, cultural programs, media programs.
Peter Jensen.
Caesar salad.
Caesar salad eaters. Caesar salad. They made huge slices.
Mm-hmm.
To what were effectively very small budgets.
Lemon slice.
But
nice. I like that. Caramel slice is nice.
Is it the time for that now?
But they've already done that. This is the thing.
1 o'clock.
And then they give $6 billion to three non-Australian companies.
Who employ Australians and have a large export market.
At the end of this, have no actual standards of performance to say where that $6 billion has gone. They, you know, GM could take their $2 billion of that, go, yeah, we looked at making a green car and it didn't work.
Mm.
And the government goes, oh, well, there's $2 billion gone.
Yeah, but I'm sure
we're making some red ones.
The red ones work. Yeah, they're not as environmentally friendly, though.
But they do go faster.
They do. They go very
faster. But I'm sure there's got to be some safety net in there. Surely you can't just walk away from it. I mean, I'm sure it's a great story that they can walk away with $2 billion, but Australia's always had an automatic.
Well, here's the deal. AIG in America was bailed out by the US government, one of the very first bailouts in the current financial crisis.
And being a member of AIG, I'd just like to say...
Why do we need a motor industry?
That's my question.
No,
yeah.
The reason really
I'm quite shocked that that's coming from you actually.
One of the main reasons why any country has an automotive industry or any kind of industry, whether it's tractors or whatever, that produces a combustion engine is that you can use that combustion engine for other things.
Mm.
So say for instance you can use it to power factories in the form of generators.
Mm.
You can use it in the form of defense. So for instance a country that isn't actually able to perform or make vehicles, yes, armored or non-armored, they consider it actually not able to defend itself.
So
the only
because
way
we're making engines in Australia, that's the only thing between us having tanks and not having tanks.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, but that kind of engineering.
Why don't we just buy the engines overseas?
Well, what if we're at war with the people that we're...
Well, then we wouldn't be able to buy the tanks that we're putting the engines in.
No, you see, we make them. That's the
idea. So we make tanks as well.
We can.
But we're not.
But the idea, that kind of infrastructure, that's what it's for.
Yeah, but see, the problem
but
I have with
that's a sort of like a 1930s sort of view of the world.
I agree. I totally agree with you. But that's where the economic philosophy. Yeah, but that's where that economic philosophy comes from.
Right. But here's the issue. So it's redundant now. So you're agreeing that it's redundant now.
Well, I would say that I don't know whether that particular philosophy makes a lot of sense. But if you're looking at large communities in Australia, for instance, in Victoria, whole communities rely on the fact that yes, we in fact make these.
Yeah, but who cares?
They're in Victoria. Americans do. They buy them.
Yeah, okay.
This is the whole. Oh, the tobacco industry has gotten. Or the oil industry supports all these families. It's like move on.
But they're cars. Yeah. We all buy cars.
Yes, I know, and that's part of the problem, isn't it?
How many cars do you own?
I personally own one.
How many cars are in your vicinity when you're at home?
two, mm-hmm. and a motorcycle.
Right.
So can I actually
point out
that...
So technically you own three times as many cars as me and 100 times more cars than he does.
Exactly right. So, but my question, and I can sort of see the point that there are communities that rely on the motor industry. But the trouble is...
Yeah, but move on.
Yeah, but this is my point. That $6 billion could be far better spent on, for example, making Australia a leading-edge provider of green
yes.
motoring technology.
That's true. Mm. But, on the other hand...
But you don't give it to the three car companies that, maybe with a minor exception of Toyota, but certainly GM and Ford, you don't give it to the people who have spent far more stopping the development of green... engine technology.
Electric car, you know.
Exactly right. They have spent billions stopping the end of the combustion engine. Mm. And the classic here in Australia, of course, was Ralph Sarich and his orbital engine, mm-hmm. which would have reduced emissions by like 95%. It was made of basically recycled silicon...
asparagus.
Asparagus. And I think tin cans.
Yep.
But it would have used 95% less fuel. It would have done an enormous... It would have revolutionised the entire... motoring industry. What did Ford do? Ford went and paid him a stupidly large amount of money and then put it on the shelf.
Mm. Because they don't want... Do you know why he sold it to Ford?
Because it was a stupidly large amount of money.
Because the Australian government said no.
Yeah.
He wanted to give it to the Australian government.
Yeah.
And the Australian government went, oh, we don't know if that's such a good idea. So he sold it to someone. It's our own fault.
Totally. Totally.
That doesn't justify where we should have a motor industry.
And here's my point. So, and Richard brings up the Who Killed the Electric Car, which is a great documentary. If you get your hands on it, it's really worth watching. There was a whole thing there about how much money Ford and GM spent, and Chrysler, spent on trying to prevent the development of a car. Now, there's talk that one of the things that they think is the next future wave of energy-efficient cars is the mercury cell battery car, which is still science fiction. There's not actually a working mercury cell car yet.
And mercury you can't dispose of anyway.
We can't dispose of anyway. It becomes a huge environmental issue.
That's right.
So my question has to be, they've just spent $6 billion of our money to bail out the car industry. They've spent an enormous amount of money to bail out the banks who got into this situation because they are actually incompetent at worst, at best, and actually, you know, I won't even go... As far as, because they'll probably sue me.
And I get that, but that's an idealist view. If a government looks, a government has to look at the money it has and how it can turn that money into something else.
Yes.
So it has to look at the industries that actually make us money. So obviously they've looked at the automotive industry.
But does the car industry make us money?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they've looked at it and says that it does.
Well, Toyota exports, right?
GM exports. Ford exports. Actually, does Ford even have a plane here?
No, they don't.
Anymore?
Well, if they do...
Who does
GM export to?
America.
What, just the Monaro and that's it?
No, they don't. They export the Holden SS as the...
Holden SS what?
It's a car.
No, SS.
Commodore.
Like
is Commodore SS?
Yeah, but they export it as something else, as a GM something. I don't know what it's called, though. But they do export it. And they also build engines here that they export that are put in American cars. So, for instance, I think the engine that goes in the Dodge Viper is actually built here.
Okay, but here's my question, right? $6 billion spent on effectively propping up the profits of three major car companies.
Mm.
The only reason they're talking about leaving Australia is they're not making enough profit.
Yes.
It's not that they're not making a profit, they're not making enough to satisfy the bloated, greedy demands of their shareholders.
Mm.
That $6 billion, even $1 billion of that, could have gone into fixing hospitals where people are dying. I know one guy...
from exhaust fumes, amongst other things.
Exactly right. I know one guy that so far he had to wait 3.5 months to have kidney stones removed. Now, those stories always come out and everyone goes, oh, yeah, everyone waits. But the reality is, we have a broken hospital system, we have a broken education system, we have roads and rail that you've got to have roads to drive these fucking cars on, that are falling apart and crumbling. You've just had the Premier wipe $300 million from the fixing of the Pacific Highway. Even if you take out the fact that it's a road, hundreds of people have died on that road because it's shithouse.
Mm. But, of course, if we spent $6 billion on developing better cars, then, well, we wouldn't have as many accidents.
And this is the problem.
That was a joke,
I know. I get the joke. But
it's
okay. We'll explain it to you in the break.
I turned his mic off.
I find, when I read this, there were two things that went through my head.
Number one was,
why are you reading the Telegraph?
Where's my pizza?
I was actually at Scoop Independent News. Number one was, what the is going on? And number two, I get this distinct feeling when you then go into, say, the Wall Street Journal, as I read every morning, that the American government has just, they pumped $25 billion into propping up their three major car companies.
Yeah.
And the car companies went back to them 3 weeks later and said, it's not enough. Can we have another $25 billion?
Mm.
And they're thinking seriously about giving them another $25 billion. Now, the American car companies are far worse than us because there's very little manufacturing left of American from American car companies.
They've shut most of them.
If you look at places like Detroit, Detroit is a ghost town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can buy houses in Detroit for like literally $20, and I'm not joking.
Mm.
Because there's no wheels on them either.
No, there's no wheels on them either. They're actually proper houses.
Got a really big engine though.
Yeah,
they've got
a big engine.
I'm against propping up any industry. I don't care what it is. Any industry. As long as it's not a social thing, social service, the health system or something like that. Anything that doesn't directly, help people's lives, fuck them. Seriously, fuck them. If they're public companies, they made a choice to go out and float, right? And the whole point is to make money.
Yes, totally.
Yeah, and sure, if the government's actually, if they're dependent on certain industries, bad luck.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Exactly right.
Or nationalise it.
Oh, I think we're at a point where we actually have to accept that, say, in the car industry, do we really need three car companies? Is it a point where one of them actually collapses? See, this is my point, okay. The problem is it's always like, well, we've got to protect all these companies. So let's look at the Australian airline industry mid-1990s. Ansett collapses, right? Yeah. Everyone goes, oh my God, what are we going to do? Out of the ashes of Ansett...
They did that with their arms?
I think they did, yeah. Out of the ashes of Ansett came Virgin Blue. Now, we can criticise and be positive about Virgin Blue, but a new competitor sprung up and took Qantas on in its own game and has actually... split the market, 50-50. Mm. That's what happens in a capitalist economy. The moment the government steps in and props up companies, you are actually what John McCain warned everybody about. You actually are in a socialist economy.
Yeah, but see...
But you're not propping up the right industries.
No, that's true, but obviously they've looked at it and said that this industry obviously does provide enough jobs, enough exports, that it is an industry worth propping up. Otherwise, they'd go and prop up the gaming industry, which gives us nothing.
Yeah, but then there's the other
Except
side...
money.
But there's the other side of it.
And pain.
Would you think that these factories are in marginal electorates? Yes, they are.
I don't know.
And this is the problem.
Come on, there's no federal marginal electorates, Pete.
There's a few. Not many left, there's a few. But my issue is always, and I agree with you, Richard, I admit myself, I'm a far-left person, but we shouldn't be going in and propping up private companies.
Yeah, we should be.
We should not be doing it. And if that company goes down... so be it.
Yeah, but
because
someone
else will come in and do... Because you're right, cars will always be bought.
Yeah,
someone will always buy cars.
It's that same thing about, but 20,000 families depend on this industry for their livelihoods. And it's like, well, first of all, maybe they should be starting to think about moving outside that industry in the first place if we didn't have a culture of propping up every industry. But the second thing is, we move on. Technology moves on. You know, if we protected every industry that had ever been, we'd still be protecting the ticker tape industry.
Or making black and white televisions.
Black and white televisions,
Yeah.
People move on. Industry moves on.
Structural unemployment
happens. On.
It does. It happens.
You know? If you lose your job because your industry is shut down... that's just the way it is.
Retrain and find other industries. And this is the thing.
But they can't retrain.
Well, they
because they've gutted the TAFE industry.
Well, that's very... Thank you.
They're
fair point.
Now, the thing
I wouldn't know much about that, but you're... tell me.
This is the problem, though.
Yeah.
The thing is, the car industry provides a lot of apprenticeships to people who want to be mechanics or whatever they do. They just do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do, right? Yeah. So that you have to look at the idea
so
that, okay...
So does hospitality.
Yeah, I know. I don't know, rooting in paddocks. I don't know. But
does.
Point being
yeah,
is
does,
that,
does,
that
definitely, yeah.
mechanics, mechanics, welders, upholsterers, all those kind of things, the on-the-job training they get is in the automotive industry.
No disagreement. In fact, there are many trades that only exist in the automotive industry.
Right. And you wonder why, don't you?
But here's my point.
You know why?
There's no such thing as coppersmiths anymore.
fitting and turning doesn't exist as
you know,
a trade
what, but
anymore.
See, the thing is, we now import that stuff, and it ends up costing us more money than it would is if we did it here.
No, but see, something like coppersmithing doesn't exist because we don't use barrels anymore.
But see, the thing is, if we imported all the cars in this country, how expensive would that be rather than people buying Australian-made cars? It would blow out the deficit. It really would.
I don't disagree.
Balance of trade would be out of whack.
A lot of people aren't buying them.
But see, people are buying them. That's the problem. Because most people actually don't care where they get the cars from, right? So the government has to do what they can to make sure that the cars they do buy are made here.
Yeah, but this is the problem. The cars that are actually made here, even with the subsidies and the tariffs, are still more expensive than the overseas cars.
Mm. Yes, that's true.
I mean, it's still cheaper to buy a Japanese or Korean or even a European-made car than it is to buy an Australian-made car, simply because the economies of scale and all the economic theory that goes behind the large-scale production. The problem I have is that there are industries out there that we should be protecting, that those industries do generate far more positive employment and export outcomes, and Richard mentioned hospitality is a classic example.
But how many hotels are you going to build?
It's not about the hotels. It's about restaurants can't get staff.
They gutted the further education system.
That's a part of the issue.
And then the thing is, then you've got workers coming from overseas who people don't want to employ because they don't speak English very well, but they're the only people with qualifications because we don't train people.
No.
So the way we fix that problem, the fact that it's been gutted, is we prop up another industry that provides the same services. Why don't we just shut that industry down and put
give
all the money
back and give the $6 billion back to further education?
But I'm not. Yeah, but then where do we send the people who are trained?
Into industries that are screaming for qualified people. There's huge skill shortages in areas like electricians, plumbers.
Steering wheel moulders,
upholstery. I bet that's a big demand for that.
Yeah. Indicator assembly?
Yeah, indicator assembly, yeah. Making horns.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's a tough job.
Those little plastic pads that go on the accelerator pedal.
Oh, yeah, they're hard to mill. Yeah.
They import those.
Oh, they're imported. So there we go, ladies and gentlemen, $6 billion to do that joke.
Of which only five billion we disagree with, don't we?
Exactly right.
28 minutes worth.
Indeed.
See, the $6 billion was worth it.
It was.
Right, said it would spend a lot.
Well done, Captain Planet. You get my vote. There we go. That was Lazaro's dog with Home Entertainment System.
Come and get you.
You know how when occasionally you misplace your keys?
Yep.
It's really easy to misplace your keys and you can't find them and you're all over the place and you look around the house and you think, no. God, I'm an idiot. How could I have lost my keys?
No, it never happened to me.
You never lost your keys?
Never lost my keys.
No, right. He's never done it. No.
Never lost anything.
Really? Wow.
Number nine. Sorry,
always had everything. But I, keep going.
He can imagine.
For someone who would.
You can empathise.
I can empathise.
You can empathise.
Not fully, because I've not actually been in that situation. Yeah,
but you can empathise.
I can understand to a certain degree.
Okay, go with it. So, Abe, when you lose your keys.
You know when you lose your keys? Or you just lose something, you misplace it, and you think, oh, that's a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
Or, for instance, you've lost something that doesn't belong to you, and you think, Oh, shit, I've lost it. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know what? America did that. Mm. In fact, in 1968, America lost something it really would like back.
Vietnam?
And the people... That was 1973.
And it was all over well before then.
The people in northern Greenland would probably like them to take it back.
Yes, what would that be?
A thermonuclear weapon.
Nice, I heard about this, yes.
Yeah, you see, it's an unusual thing, let's be honest, to lose, but the Pentagon believed the Soviet Union would basically take out their Thule Air Force base, right? So what they did was they put a thermonuclear device basically in what they termed chrome dome missions.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with me, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Nuclear armed B-52 bombers continually circled over Thule and could head straight to Moscow if they witnessed its destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, they lost one.
Oh, it's been misplaced.
It's been clerical misplaced. Error. Because, you
administrative
know,
problem.
You know how small nuclear bombs are, particularly ones they made in 1968?
Yeah, it happens. I understand that. Mm. I've done that.
Well, the B-52...
Well, that's not entirely true, eh?
So this looks behind the vegetable crisper.
Because you remember there was a...
Was that English? What the frick was that?
I remember that.
Yeah.
In the 60s, the US developed a nuclear device,
yes.
Thermonuclear device,
yes.
That could fit in a briefcase that they were going to use for blowing up bridges...
Mm.
And spies.
So
small tactical targets.
So popular targets. Rumor would have you believe.
Targets.
They were going to blow up all of the target stores.
And targets.
Apparently that's an urban myth.
What? Yeah.
What the briefcase-based bomb.
No, it's not. It's in a book. I've got it in a book.
The Book of Urban Myths?
No, I actually believe it's called Dr. Seuss's The Suitcase Bomb.
And there I
did
was.
Did wibbly wobbly with the suitcase bomb, I did go.
And there I was. I mean, upon it's a big bridge. Suitcase, but it's still a suitcase.
And then the lady on the street said, blow.
And there I was upon a bridge. It was a fridge. No, it was a bridge. And then upon it went up kaboom.
Can we actually
That's
say
it.
That?
You read it, yes.
I have. So anyway, there you go. In 1968, they lost a nuclear weapon. The people of Greenland would like the Americans to take it back because no one knows where it is. And if it goes boom, it might
How
be
How are they
going to
take it back if they don't know where it is?
Thus, the problem. Now, in fact, you know who's involved with this? The Danes. Yes, the
nothing
Danes.
Like a Dane.
That's
typical.
Right.
Nothing yes. in the world.
The Danes would also like it. But that's just because they like clogs. And that's it.
And they've also got their fingers in dykes.
And who wouldn't if they could? Well, not Katie Lang, because that's really... You know that Katie Lang said that she would not rule out ever having sex with a man, so I think that rules her out of lesbianism.
No, I don't think it does. I don't think it does.
Depends under what circumstances.
I just wanted to disagree with you.
For example, if you were in Guantanamo Bay...
Yes.
And someone said, right, we're now going to torture you.
I would definitely have sex with a lesbian.
Or you can have sex with a man.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, what would you do? You get tortured or have sex
so
with a man?
So I'm going to talk about... I need to, at this point, I think this is quite an appropriate juncture to talk about the Daily Telegraph.
It's an important question, isn't it?
She said she found men physically attractive.
So, on the Daily Telegraph this week.
We'll all have a go. But we'll start with you.
There is nothing like a Dane.
Would you have a sex?
That is anything like a Dane.
I really love how I checked the levels before we started this.
So you can go first.
I did move away a little bit.
Would you have sex with the man, or would you go through the torture?
There is nothing like a Dane.
We're all going to go. We're all going to have a go.
For God's sake.
There is nothing I can say that is anything like a Dane.
You know, then of course...
Dane Cook, because he's very attractive.
Then, of course, there's the automotive industry. Of course, if we looked at the upholsterers, they definitely have sex with a man.
Daily Telegraph today, of course. Big news week, of course, we had the mini-budget.
You know, the upholsterers? Pete, they could get a job doing lounges.
Or mini-budgets.
I mean, everyone's got a lounge,
the mini-budget. The mini-budget.
Everybody has a lounge.
Like nothing in the world.
Now, mini-budget, big week. Of course, there was other big news around. There was Obama still happening. Rudd bailing out the car industry. Massive news. I would like to give you the three top stories, as we've done in the last couple of weeks.
Yay.
The three top stories on the Daily Telegraph today.
Yes, okay. Yay. Yes, yes.
Story number one.
I saw the front page today.
Yep. Story number one. Peaches Geldof, just to bring back Peaches, she hasn't been around for a while.
Old news.
To divorce Max Drummy after 96-day marriage.
They got married?
They did. 19-year-old. Yes. Peaches got married.
Why didn't you know?
Shouldn't that have been reported in Millions of Peaches?
Possibly.
Well, you know, you guys said to stop doing it. So,
I didn't.
You know,
hey!
Stop doing it.
She realised it was all a mistake, and her dad...
One of the people in this room,
you know,
did not say stop.
That you can do
yeah,
that.
I know.
The divorce follows a series of bitter rows between Peaches and Max in the New York home. So really? That was story number one with a photo of said Peaches.
So if you'd listened to me, you would have had the whole backstory. You would have known why they got married, who they got married to, you know, what type of dog they had.
You know, the thing that most shocks
sort of upholstery they got on their lounge.
Yep. Now I want to
the
give you
the thing that most shocks me about the Peaches
nuclear
story.
Weapon.
The thing that most shocks me about the Peaches story. Mm-hmm. If she's married, it means that she's probably not a virgin anymore.
Second,
it's not necessarily true.
That's not very true. She could have been waiting till after she was married.
I met a girl once who.
Can I give you the second story? The second top story on the Daily Telegraph. Once again, not red hot. Not any of these things. The headline was...
Oh, right, so what she basically says, right, I'm going to give you a story, it's really funny, it should really go in both those segments that Abe and Richard does, but I'm just going to label it as not being in that segment, and here I go.
It's just before the crossword.
No, this was actually...
That's effectively what you mean.
No, what I'm saying is...
Would you like
this
a segment intro?
No, this was
not red hot go, not red hot go, not red hot go, not red hot go.
Hot go!
The headline was, Operation Turned Michael Eglinton's Penis Black.
Ooh! Who's Michael Eglinton?
Michael Eglinton, who went to Darwin Hospital to have a wart removed from the base of his penis.
That's attractive. I'm sure the ladies are going to love him.
Suffered internal bleeding, which caused his penis and testicles to turn black.
Wow.
And his testicles swelled to more than three times their normal size. The Northern Territory News reports it's seen photographs to prove it.
You know what, Pete? If we didn't have a car industry, he would have been fine.
Exactly right.
How would he have trucked those testicles around, huh?
Mr. Eglinton commented,
Rapid
next thing I start...
Random.
He was treated under local anesthetic, and he said, next thing I started
anesthetic.
Feeling... Anesthetic. He said, next thing I started feeling a bit warm about the groin. Mm-hmm. And there's a very attractive photo of Michael Eglinton.
Oh, good lord, he looks like
Chuck Norris.
Mm. Now, finally, he started feeling a bit warm about the groin.
He did. Now, finally,
what about the?
And finally, once again, above Red Hot Go, above all of these segments, far more important than anything else happening in the world. Yes.
Speaking of feeling warm in the groin, apparently, K.D. Lang, warm in the groin about men.
So.
Really?
So.
Hey, if you're going to Guantanamo Bay.
There is nothing like a dude. So.
You know, Obama wants to shut it down.
Does he? The Danes.
It's crazy, isn't it?
He wants to shut down Denmark?
He
can't do that.
He's not shutting it down. He's moving it.
What would happen? What would happen to our Aussie Princess Mary?
She'd probably go back to whoring in pubs like she did before she married the prince.
Where's he moving it to? South Carolina?
Is that what they call real estate these days?
That's what they call real
estate. Exactly.
Are you a prince? What a fuck? Yeah, let's get drunk and fuck. That'd be good.
You know what, Abe? You have a, you have
very
a...
very arousing voice. Anyway.
You have a great stand-up career. You know, doing
stand-up
impersonation. If you'd like Abe to come to your birthday party, please send us an email.
I almost thought she was in the room. Almost.
Honestly.
You know,
honestly, I
had to look up.
Honestly.
You're kidding me. How'd she get in?
I didn't let her in. I didn't even bow.
Honestly. How does Princess Mary have any claim to fame apart from picking up a guy who turned out to be a prince in a pub?
I don't know. I'm still shocked that she's in the room.
I could do that.
She's our Princess of Hearts. Leave her alone.
In fact, I'll tell you what. If you put Prince William in a pub, I reckon I could go home with him.
All right. Let's work on that. Do you have a helicopter to get in?
No, we do a great impersonation of a real estate agent.
Let's just not lose the sight of the fact that she got all of this because of a pub crawl.
Yeah, exactly.
Thus.
But the bit I love is that the pub in Sydney where they met is now advertises itself as the place where where Mary and Frederick met.
That's right.
And it's also the home of the Danes in Sydney.
Wow.
Everyone called Dane.
Dane Cook,
yeah.
Was it the home of Dane
Sorensen?
Who's Dane Sorensen?
Was it home on the Danes before she got hooked up?
There is nothing like a Dane. Anyway.
Have you seen that one more time?
Was it Danes before she...
No, not at all.
Right, so after she got hooked up, suddenly all the Danes
go
there.
Yeah. Oh, no. So suddenly they advertise that all the Danes should go there. There's a serious difference.
But all the Danes did go there before she hooked up.
No. No, they just happened to be there drinking beer.
Ah, okay.
Carlsberg, probably.
So, let me get this right. They advertise that all the Danes go there.
Yes.
But all the Danes don't go there.
Correct. But they want to advertise that all the Danes do go there.
So that in case there was a Dane that went there, they would feel satisfied in the fact that they're at a pub with all the Danes.
Exactly, and they could pick up a real estate agent.
They could pick up a Dane.
No, the Danes don't need to pick up the Dane. They need to pick up a real estate agent.
Yeah, and there's no Danes there anyway.
So that pretty much ends that story, and I hope that logic worked for you, Abe.
The only Dane that did go there
was
left.
Yeah, exactly.
He left.
He's already taken.
He's
off the dance floor.
Taken, he's not, and fucked off.
Because it's murder on the dance floor.
I just think it's hilarious that you know, this young lady who ostensibly could be called the town bike,
That's unfair.
That's unfair.
She's our Aussie Princess of Hearts, mate.
That's offensive to the local bike industry.
You know what?
The government should be propping them up. Giant? They should be propping up Giant. Trek?
Let's prep
Melbourne Star. Exactly.
They were made in Melbourne. Finally,
I just wanted to say something really inflammatory, so I thought that would do it.
Yeah. Now, finally, the final headline, which was the top headline, over above all of these things, incest couple Jenny and John Deeve split. She has new man.
Really?
Now, this is
allegedly... her grandfather?
This allegedly is the story of father and daughter couple Jenny and John Deeve.
Seen on 60 Minutes.
She's broken up with her dad. And now she's dating a bisexual father of three called Shane, spelt S-H-A-Y-N-E.
Did she contact him via SMS? Because if so, it's Shane Warne.
Is the bisexual bit important?
I don't know.
It seems to be in the opening sentence there.
It may well be. And of course, don't forget that she's known Shane for 10 weeks, and people may think we've rushed into things, but he's my rock.
By putting the word bisexual in there, it's like a beacon.
It is.
Because it's got no reference to anything else.
You know what it is? It's like
anywhere
kinky.
Else.
It's like kinky.
And there's no other information. Who's the guy he's rooting? Yeah. I mean, there's no information on that at all.
Is that guy the father of his three children?
I mean, the guy who wrote this.
He got his body back amazingly after the birth.
Can't be called a real journalist.
They don't have their name here, so I can't tell you who it is.
Can I also just state, I think can you read the headline again?
Incest couple Jenny and John Deeve split. She has new man.
I think the kinky part of the story is the incest, not the bisexual boyfriend.
But that just adds to the story.
No, the introduction paragraph I was talking about.
Yeah. Well, lube me up and call me Shane.
But here we go.
Shane.
Jenny and her father John, who became national news after appearing on 60 Minutes.
Thank you.
Split in July after a court-enforced sex
ban. Did they split the check?
They probably did.
From 60 Minutes?
The court-enforced sex ban signaled an end to their intimacy and sparked fears for Jenny's two children, as well as the couple's one-year-old daughter. So they've actually had a kid.
Yes, that's right.
That's scary. But in a strange twist, it was revealed that John, who was seeking treatment for alcoholism after a suicide attempt, is actually still living with Jenny and her new fiancé, Shane.
Really?
Might explain why Shane is a bisexual father of three.
I was going to say, you know what this is all about?
Allegedly.
Well, no, according to the Courier Mail and the Daily Graph, it's not allegedly. Is dating a bisexual father of three?
You know what I call this? You know what I call this relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Last week you had double penetration. This week, triple threat.
Now, I also need to then point out, there's a hot photo of Jenny
Pete would say,
and
nice.
Shane.
Nice.
A photo of Jenny and Shane. So, as once again...
Is that what he looks like?
Then I'd also like to say, ladies and gentlemen, the Daily Telegraph once again continues to deliver quality journalism in this city. It continues to deliver, I would argue, Walkley award-winning stories.
Mm.
These, you know what? The people who wrote these, Pulitzer Prizes. Especially the headline, Operation Turn Michael Eglinton's Penis Black.
That's incredible.
That is going to be tantamount to the work done by Woodward and Bernstein in exposing Richard Nixon's black penis.
A very similar incident actually happened.
Which is a metaphor for his black heart.
Well, I was just going to say what they did mention. He is black.
The black penis incident. Very similar what happened to Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. Had a wart removed from his forehead, turned into a white man.
A walk in the black forest.
Look at you guys, churning through your material.
I know.
Now, speaking of which...
It's a wonder.
It is.
It's a wonder. I should have brought my camera in. I did.
It's the wonder of you.
Did anyone see the news yesterday?
No. No, I don't watch the news.
Did anyone see the news today?
I don't read the news. I don't do anything.
You make the news.
I make the news.
Well,
The Telegraph makes the news. I just report it.
Shut up. Interestingly enough, I don't know whether you saw the footage, but...
Yes.
That's nice. But Barack Obama... Did you know what was Barack Obama's name before he was influenced by Malcolm X?
Saddam Hussein.
Malcolm W?
No, I haven't got that right. Osama bin Laden. That was it. No.
Obama, Biden, no. Laden with presidential hopefulness.
Satan. That was his name. Lucifer. That was it.
Holden.
That's it. Yeah. Chairman Mao. He was Chairman Mao. That's what he was. Joseph Stalin.
A donkey with a sore leg.
Benito Mussolini.
Barry.
Oh, no.
His name?
Close,
was Barry.
We were close.
Almost there.
Almost there.
Right, okay. Now,
well, I was going to say Barry too.
That was my next one.
Yeah, me too.
May or may not have seen the footage today,
yep.
But Barack Obama and his wife, Mrs. Barack, went for their very first visit to the White House.
They did, they toured.
Where given a first meeting with incumbent George W. Bush since his last week's decisive election victory.
Which people did describe as may have been slightly uncomfortable because Barack Obama spent the last 2 years saying, kick this fucker out for his failed policies.
Well, let me put it to you this
way. And George
way.
Bush just couldn't stop touching him up the whole tour.
It looked like positively the most uncomfortable meeting since Gorbachev met Reagan in a hall with the dueling pistols.
Yes, no, I agree.
Amongst calls of, turn him upside down.
Yes. And all the lollies fall out.
It was incredibly uncomfortable.
Yes.
Apparently the meeting went for 2 hours. Mrs. Bush, otherwise known as the slutty girl's mum, took Mrs. Obama for a bit of a tour.
Yep.
And of course she said, this is the room and this is the servant's quarters. Oh, sorry, that's right, you're not the servant. Yeah. And showed her all around the place.
Yep.
And it was obvious, the tension between the two was palpable.
Yep.
Palpable. Mm.
Yep.
I think it's because
there was definitely some palpitations.
But they did talk about their children.
They did talk about their children. Unfortunately, Laura Bush wasn't allowed to talk about some things the kids did because of impending legal action.
That's exactly right.
Never mind.
Yep. Of course, as we know, that
apparently they saw the Lincoln bedroom.
Did they see the Lincoln bedroom?
They were shown the Lincoln bedroom.
You know what the problem with the Lincoln bedroom is?
Lincoln's still in there.
Lincoln's still in there. Exactly right. And funny stinks.
This is the Lincoln bedroom.
Yes.
Keep it locked at all times.
Yeah, exactly right. Unless you want that smell to come out. It's just not good.
Recording off the whole hallway.
Though occasionally, my husband will go in there and put on the hat. It's a little stinky and a little sticky, but it still goes on.
I have a funny feeling.
Then he tries on the beard.
Yeah, okay.
Just pulls the beard off. Just puts the beard on.
I think it's the only beard that George W. Bush has pulled off for a while.
I think you may be
right. Come on, move on.
Anyway, I actually had some more of that.
And then, when Dick Cheney comes over...
That's what I wanted to... Oh.
I got more! I got more! I know more! There is nothing like a dude.
Seriously, if you do that one more time...
Do what?
Sing that song.
Oh, dear.
I will stick Richard...
You're going to go Laura Bush on me?
Up your ass.
Anyway, there's a lot
can
more
you
about
just
that.
Do it again. Then?
Sure, no worries. I just don't want to see that. That's all.
I just don't want to be that.
I think Richard has the worst view.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think it is. I think at this point, it
and
is
I know
time.
What I'm talking about.
I think it's time for my new segment.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
How many segments have you fucking got?
Hundreds. You name them, I got them.
And you had all of that on that one A4 sheet of paper.
I did. Yes. This is my new segment.
And now, let's do this properly. Okay, here we go.
Do you want the name of the segment?
No.
Okay.
And for those of you who've waited, now it's time for...
Pete's new fucking segment.
Yeah! I'll work on it.
Yeah. My new segment is...
Now do it again.
And now, for those of you who waited, it's time for...
Pete writes the news, Pete reports the news.
Nice.
Cha-ching.
Thank you.
Yeah, still work on
it. My new segment is entitled... Corporate Wanker of the Week.
Ooh! Now, right. I love this show.
Now, this is an interesting story.
Previous winners, of course, Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, he's up there. Sir Alan Sugar.
Yes.
I want to vote for you, Sir Alan.
Malcolm
Turnbull. Because I think you're really great.
So technically...
Piss off! I don't like you!
Did you see the debate between Paul Keating and Malcolm Turnbull?
Oh, it was hilarious!
Funny, wasn't it?
It was.
What? Who?
There was a televised... It was like a charity debate between Keating. And basically...
Where was this?
It was only show bits of it on Insiders and stuff. But it was some interesting... Some great lines from Keating.
Oh, all cred to Turnbull, I tell you.
Yeah, Turnbull took him on. It was hardcore.
I actually wanted to talk about Turnbull this week. I forgot.
And he actually put Keating down. He said... Keating said, the whole financial crisis, blah, blah, blah. And Turnbull's line was, well, that's about the only thing you're not taking credit for. Which I thought was a good line.
Now, can I just say, before you do your segment, and just to interrupt, because it was about Turnbull, Malcolm Turnbull...
Is a tool.
...actually had balls this week.
Black ones?
Yes, he went up to Darwin and got some black balls.
Exactly. But to be fair, we did know this.
He actually went to a right-wing Christian... conference.
Yes, I saw this.
A right-wing Christian conference.
Yes, I believe it's up at Brockham Hills.
At the conference, he said that a woman has the right to choose in case of abortion.
Yes.
And that they had no right to tell these women what they had to think. Now,
Which is strange for a conservative leader.
I've got to tell you, that is balls. I'm most impressed, I have to say. Never would I be impressed by a conservative leader, apart from, possibly Stalin. He was kind of cool. Had a moustache. That's pretty cool. But Turnbull did a good job.
But interestingly,
No, it's not, Pete. Shut up. The other good thing about...
No, you are. Shut up.
I know you are, but what am I?
The Keating-Turnbull thing, apart from the fact that he did turn up...
Yep.
And he did do it because, anybody standing up to Keating, whether he's right or wrong...
Yeah, he's going to have a hard time.
He's going to have a hard time. But the fact that he kept his cool, and that's the big thing
and
that they've always thrown against Turnbull,
that
behind the scenes, he goes off his fucking knocker.
Yeah.
Knocker?
And he didn't do it. He didn't do it.
And I think that's the reason why they said to do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what Keating was trying to do as
Just
feel free to continue on to some story completely different to that.
Put that away for a second. to fly back to what Abe just said, what's really interesting is there's big discussions about.
Did you actually listen to me?
Of course I did.
That's the first time this show.
He's pretending.
So what were you saying again?
Who?
So who are you? What are you doing here? Where's Princess Mary? She was there before.
She's under the desk. She's looking for a Dane.
You know what they say.
I'm not going to do it. I promise
you
I would
know
do
what
it.
They say.
No, I'm not going to do it. Not going to be tempted.
Seriously, I will stick you up his ass. Honestly.
Anyway, so, my point, people.
I think after all these years, it stops making that noise.
It probably does. That's very true. So, my point.
Rectinol, fix anything.
I'm sure it will.
Rest! Don't you?
So, Abe made the point that, Turnbull basically said that, yeah, women has a right to choose, that the state should not be imposing, on that. What's really interesting is there's been a number of Republican Republican strategists and senior members of the Republican Party saying the size of the Republican base has shrunk by 8% between 2000 and 2008.
Yeah, right. Everyone says size doesn't count.
Exactly right, but it does when you talk about the Republican base.
Okay.
Except if it's black.
So, and that's only in Darwin. So, the argument is that the Republicans actually have to come up with better positions on things like gay marriage, right to choose, and all those things that are effectively...
Conservatism
existing. Mm. They need to actually come up with better positions on that because the reality is they're constantly losing the middle ground. Mm. The middle ground has become more progressive on things like that because Generation X is now the middle ground.
Unlike Australia where the middle ground has actually gone right.
Correct, but that could have to do with 11 and a half years of Howard. I think it had a lot to do with the fact that Howard shackled people to effectively a capitalist mantra by making... having a horrible intervention in the housing market, driving house prices far in excess of what they should actually be, and shackling people to a capitalist ideology.
It's interesting
you can't live in a house unless you're a capitalist.
Well, that's right. Well, it's interesting actually.
Or you own it.
That's also true.
It's interesting though.
Or you rent it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or unless you squat it.
Or you squat it. Yeah, yeah.
He could have inherited it.
He could have. That's true. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah.
Or it's some mates.
Could have stolen it.
Yeah. Exactly, it fits in my backpack.
Or you're a builder. Yeah. You build it.
So you were saying?
But apart from that,
I forgot.
All right. No, so, that conservative movement that Turnbull's doing, in some senses, he is just
that's what it was
copying from the US.
I'm agreeing with you, dude.
Oh, good.
Now I went to this social gathering. I never go to social gatherings because I'm a loser. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I went to a social gathering with a number of.
How was it the RSVP speed dating night?
Quick.
Quick, yes.
Quick. Quick.
Very, very quick.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hi, I'm Abe. Sorry.
So,
move on.
This was a meeting of a media professionals.
Oh, nice.
All of whom
nice.
Revolve around the news gathering area.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Not a single...
Kyle and Jackie O.
Not a single one
there?
Of them.
American Rosso, they would have been there. They're news hounds, aren't they?
I saw American Rosso in Adelaide
the
other day.
I'm very impressed with Quentin Bryce.
Yes, you are?
Yeah.
I don't like him. He looks like a girl.
Yeah. Boom. So you're saying news gathering professionals?
You know, one of the headlines.
Was there Sully there?
One of the headlines last night.
No, professionals.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
One of the headlines last night.
Yes.
There's nothing to do with my news gathering professionals.
No, shut up. Okay. I won't shame the commercial station who said it.
Channel 10.
The way
Channel 9.
The way news is degenerated into whatever they think is news.
TVS.
Yeah. You know, Quentin Bryce is doing the battlefields.
QVC.
Mm-hmm. Doing the battlefields.
Yep.
Apparently, she cried. She did at one of the services.
Yep.
And the headline on the television news was...
Governor-General goes soft!
The Governor-General cries at a remembrance funeral.
Yeah.
I would have thought it would be news if she didn't fucking cry.
Yeah.
Why is that news?
Quentin Bryce, big girl.
Exactly.
No, yep. Big girl!
But this
is not funny, so feel free to move on.
Yeah.
But I think it's an important issue.
No, I agree, and ultimately it's a problem we have with most of the media in this country is that they believe they have to stupid everything down so much. And they do the same thing about nationalism, about when you talk about when they show shots of Gallipoli, and they have to stupid it down to, like, you know, dumb fucking Aussies wrapping a flag around their neck as if it's a cape. And that's nationalism, because that's the only way they can express nationalism in this incredibly soundbite-driven media world created by media professionals.
Can I just say, these media professionals... Thank you. Very nice. These media professionals don't dumb it down. They're actually dumb.
Ah.
They're young, dumb, and full of cum.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Anyway, now, interestingly enough, this group of media professionals...
The men are, anyway.
This this group of media professionals that I had a mealage with the other evening.
How do I get in that industry?
Sorry?
How do I get in that industry?
You have to sleep with Ron Wilson.
Again?
Ron Wilson or Ross Wilson?
No, if you want to get into the music industry, that's Ross Wilson.
Oh, is that Kim Wilson?
Kim Wilson, yeah, that's if you want to get into acting.
Okay.
Yeah.
This group of young media professionals, not a single one of them voted for Kevin Rudd.
Didn't they?
They were all John Howard supporters.
Which is interesting for the media, because if one of the criticisms of the American media is this liberal bias, considering most of them are fairly liberal.
But most of these people were under 25.
Bias, yes.
Most of people were under 25, so they were 12 when John Howard took power, right? So that's all they've ever known.
I know a lot of people in that core group in other industries as well. Mm. They're all John Howard people because they don't know any better. They don't know anything better. Mm. They listen to all of the message that John Howard was giving and think, yes, we have to do that,
It's unbelievable.
And these people, when you actually drill into their opinions on things, they're quite left or
but they have no idea. But
they have no idea.
The thing I found, of course, because I always bring it down to, as you know, in here we always, all of us, we bring it down to the root single issues. Mm-hmm. And when one of these guys, a very self-confident professional news person, said, "Well, I didn't vote them." Of course, I piped up at that point and said, "Well, you fucking lost, didn't you?"
Yeah, exactly.
Never
right.
looked at me and went, "Did you vote for them?" I went, "Yes," and I won.
Yeah, exactly.
I was right. Yeah.
It's interesting, you know. There's many people, and when in the typical Australian way,
I did swear,
of trying to make us seem like we're part of the rest of the world. Very similar, of course, to the fact that Kevin Rudd was one of the first 10 people that Barack Obama called.
Yes,
that was
it's on speed dial.
That was published. That was published everywhere. That is,
you know, the top 10 thing has always amazed me because you know, if it was in the top 5, you'd say top 5.
Yeah. Right. Top 10?
If it was
top 10 or 12, I believe.
If it was 3 or under, you'd say the position, wouldn't you?
You would
say first, second, or third. Yeah. It's under 5. If it's 4, you'd say under 5. Five. Fifth, you'd say 5. Yeah. And if it's anything from 6 to 10, you'd say within the top 10.
Exactly. Top 12 in this case. It could have actually... You would have said top 10, so it's probably 11 or 12.
Actually, that's 74 seconds of my life I will never get back.
That's very true.
Now, what the hell were you talking about?
If they did 15.
Yeah, that's very true.
It could have been anything from 15,
Australia has
14,
this innate ability to
30?
Try and align itself.
Or it could have even been 16.
You know,
I'm desperately trying to fit Richard Seinsegwin in here, so shush.
So we have this desperate ability to try and make ourselves appeal to the rest of the world.
Yes.
So, and now I've lost... What were we talking about before this? I've actually lost it. I have lost my train of thought. It is completely gone. Do you remember what was going on to that? Why we wanted to be like the rest of the world?
Yes, because the donkey actually slipped in a trench.
I've completely forgotten about what I was going to say.
It bounced off the Malcolm.
We're talking about Aboriginal intervention.
I took the Malcolm Turnbull thing from you.
This is my attempt to get Pete to talk about as many different subjects as possible tonight.
What I was going to talk about.
It's working quite well.
You're
anyway,
at the paper.
You know what?
It's a wankers of the week.
Yes, thank you.
The hospital system.
Needs help.
You know what they should do?
And
they
should
put hospitals in cars.
No, and then the unemployment ship them all to the Danish pub in Sydney.
Oh yeah,
there we go. And it's ridiculous with the car industry being bailed out. What does that mean for our tax? Our
tax dollars, nothing.
Corporate what about our $30 billion of tax?
Corporate wanker of the week. Now, of course, we have had a 1.75% decrease in interest rates.
Yay!
That has obviously helped the people who have mortgages.
Yay!
So, not you or I, Richard, so therefore the...
Also, a 1.7% reduction in housing prices in the inner west. Or 6.5% up where
I am. Exactly right. It's very true. So let me guess, the place you now own is worth...
$25.60.
Exactly right. And
unless you're a squatter, you built it yourself, you're renting it, or you bought it from an uncle, or you inherited
it. Or you stole it.
Or it's a mate's.
Yes. Interestingly enough, though, I can still actually afford it after I bought the Commonwealth Bank for $35.
Nice. Very good.
That's right, you'll get bailed out.
So, this corporate wanker of the week, while it's had a 1.75% rate cut, and, of course, is delving in credit that perhaps is a little bit focused on the lower end of the market, the corporate wanker of the week for me is GE Money. Now, I'm naming GE Money.
We're calling them out. We're calling them out.
They are one of Australia's biggest...
makers of the Patriot missile, and that worked quite well.
And don't they own, do they own a television network in the US?
NBC.
Thank you. They are the country's, one of the country's biggest personal lenders with 3.2 million customers.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because JB Hi-Fi and Harvey Norman used to exclusively do GE Money. They don't anymore. They've both gone away from GE Money.
So a lot of people have money with GE. They also have an enormous... they have about 35,000 mortgages wrapped up in GE. Now, they would all come through mortgage brokers, I would suspect. And they provide a number of those sort of unaligned credit cards.
Yes.
So, for example, when... David Jones puts out a David Jones MasterCard.
Yeah, and also the old Harvey Norman one.
Yeah.
For example, Pete, you don't know that for sure.
No, I don't, but I'm using that as an example.
Yeah, we'll say it's an example. It otherwise, is, it's they'll come back and sue your ass off.
That's
and
very
if
true.
They sue your ass off, they're also suing your ass off. Well, yeah.
I have no responsibility for this program. I don't even know who
they are. Do you know, I had a GE washing machine for 10 years, and it broke down 6 months ago. I had to get it replaced.
So now you're locked into GE?
Apparently, GE washing machines used to be the best you could get.
You know why?
Now they don't make them anymore.
Components out of the F-16, also made by GE.
Ah.
Nice. In fact, if you look at your washing machine, you'll find the head-up display of an F-16 on the top.
It does, actually. It's a Miele.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
So, I just want to point out because I've got 3 points.
And it shimmers. It's like a hologram.
Mm.
And you know what you can do? You can actually zoom in and target each piece of clothing.
Stain.
So, that whole, like, 60 or 70 seconds just... it was just black.
74 seconds.
It was just blackness. That's all there was. It was darkness. There was silence. There was just... at that point, I think I found Buddha.
You know, at some point you're going to come to the realisation that no one gives a shit about your segment.
You know, GE Money!
No, I never come to that realisation because I've been doing segments that no one gives a shit about for 12 years and loving it.
Yeah. Corporate wanker of the week. I'll get the list out again.
Anyway, the wanker of the week.
Corporate wanker of the week.
Thank you. Corporate wanker of the week. The corporate wanker of the week, instead of reducing its rates on for its 3.2 million customers on their credit cards, actually increased their interest rates by 0.8%.
Scum-sucking pig dogs of the fascist elite.
All I can say is you've just earned yourself 1.75% extra through having the interest rates cut and they didn't pass it on. Bastards.
And so they're the corporate wanker of the week.
Yes,
they are. What was that?
Now it's time,
and now it's time for Richard Science Segment.
Either that or Red Hot Go. 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 Red Hot Go.
Richard Science Segment.
Before we go on, can I just say,
can I sing that song but replace the word Dane with Red Hot Go?
No.
Oh. Can I just say, Pete, here's an in for you.
Okay,
I brought something along for you.
I've been looking for one of those for years.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
You know what they say about gift horses? Feed them hay, give them in a box.
Yeah, exactly right.
Don't go around the back way.
Yep.
Gordon
and
Brown.
And don't sell them to the Germans.
Yes. Gordon Brown
in
the UK just won, well, not Gordon Brown himself, but they just won, the Labour just won a by-election in...
first time?
Scotland.
Scotland, yes.
Yes, that was considered the bellwether thing. If he had lost that,
indeed,
he would have lost his leadership.
Well, indeed. It's an interesting situation, Peter. Are you going to give us updates on the UK election?
Yes, we're going to follow the UK election, because that's obviously coming up in the next 9 months, and we are basically addicted to elections.
Now, amazingly enough,
a
we
bit
actually
like heroin.
Have,
actually, no, a lot like heroin.
Have
really.
Correspondents all through the Yorkshire suburb of Doomben.
Yep.
So in Doomben, we're contacting everybody
Yorkshire
suburb.
No. Hey, you're taking the piss. You are you're taking the piss.
He's taking the piss. He's doing a really good job of it.
He's taking the piss.
In fact, I'd like to hear some more.
Because you know what? The suburb isn't Doomben, it's Worrell.
So true.
There we go. I actually do have relatives in Worrell.
Short and sweet.
This is the first time that Gordon Brown has won any election.
Yes, it is.
At all.
Yes, exactly right.
So, Red Hot Go this week.
I think he might have actually been a prefect at school.
Really?
Well, I think so.
Oh.
I think it was last week, but for some reason...
branched act.
We did two shows last week and nothing else got a look in except for some stupid election.
Exactly right.
So
actually, speaking of which, did you know that...
but of course,
in Kenya, they're now having a rash of parents calling their child Obama.
Did I tell you about that donkey?
You did.
Good. So let's talk about it very, very, very quickly.
Yeah, because you've got 35 seconds.
All of Sydney Harbour foreshore.
Yep.
Which is about to be sold off.
Owned by Schiffer.
$1 billion.
Yep.
Worth of government asset. Yeah. $1 billion, and can I say, who better than to put in charge of $1.3 billion worth of government assets than the one and only Joe Tripodi?
Ah.
Well, apparently they were going to give it to Michael Kosser, but he was busy.
So I'd like to ask Joe just a couple of key questions here.
Yep.
Number one, do we remember Orange Grove?
I'd like to know whether his real eyebrows or whether he had a merkin sewn to his forehead.
And I was going to ask a question about Reba Ma, but
nothing
I just
to do with the billion, but it's fine.
Yeah. So Joe Tripodi handed the role of managing $1.4 billion of government assets.
It's very simple, and I'm sure that the government's polling has shown that everybody hates Joe Tripodi.
So he's the perfect person to sell off a billion dollars of assets.
Just stick it on.
Perfect person, and probably against everything he stands for. I would suggest even.
Yep.
And that's it. I mean, he's still Minister of Ports, isn't he?
He is.
So that's all the land.
So now that the government sold off that land, are we actually just going to have Sydney Harbour completely surrounded by skyscrapers?
Well, interestingly, though, there was a story in the paper today that the Maldives, or the Maldives,
yes,
which, of course, is a set of islands near Sri Lanka, is looking to purchase part of Australia to replace the Maldives.
Yes.
There we go. We could have the mini Maldives in Sydney Harbour.
In fact, they're moving here. Fort Denniston? Denniston.
I think the Maldivians have got a good deal there.
I think Joe should actually head over to the Maldives.
Well, you head over to the Maldives and sign a deal. We've cancelled those flights back.
Oh, bugger.
You know, the really big problem with that, of course, is, I mean, it's okay now because, you know, in this day and age of the Rudd government, it's okay, but they wouldn't have let it happen under the Liberal government because the people of the Maldives are the wrong colour.
That's very true. Yes. Now, and of course, they wouldn't take our boat people.
No.
They wouldn't take
them. They wouldn't.
That's why Nauru took them. They're all right.
Really?
We like them.
And you know what Nauru is?
A Pacific solution.
An island of poo.
It is.
We call it the Coogee Bay Island.
Really? Melvin lived there, did he?
He did. Now, what was also interesting in the mini budget that Red Hot did actually present to the people. Oh, by the way, he's lost another minister, by the way.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, Assistant Health Secretary Tony Stewart has officially
stood
down.
That's right, yes.
After,
what did he do?
After he allegedly. During a charity fundraising ball,
he used his penis.
He did a bit. He did a bit of fundraising at the fundraiser.
He was at the fundraiser. Delta Goodrum was there.
Oh,
and he got very upset at the speech that he presented, which I would have assumed that he would have read before he read it. Didn't like his speech after he read it and presented it, and then proceeded to take out his distaste at the speech on the speechwriter who works in his department. When she went to say, look, this is actually not particularly pleasant, he put his hand on her leg to hold her down so she wouldn't go, so he could finish his distaste at the speech, allegedly. So he stood down late this afternoon in the news cycle, which also included the fact that a Darwin's man penis has gone black, so therefore no one really reported.
Oh, the mini budget was yesterday.
No, it was this morning.
It was today.
Today.
This morning, right.
This morning,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I haven't seen it then.
It was today.
It hasn't really been in the news.
So there was a few things in the mini-budget that were really important.
Can we go through that next week?
We can go through those next week, but I think the big thing to point out
budget
is
watch.
Don't run red lights or try and park in the city or try and cross the Harbour Bridge.
Yes.
You're kind of bucked.
The parking in the city one's actually quite good.
Yeah, it's based on the London model, which I think works quite well, the congestion charge that works in London.
No.
It's not a congestion charge. That's right, sorry.
No, it's not a congestion charge. But Clover Moore has put through a law, and I don't know how that will actually sync up with the state government's law when she's sort of half in charge of the city, that you can park anywhere in the city on a motorcycle for free.
Nice.
Really?
You came in last week.
I'm going to park my motorcycle.
Tell you what, as someone who owns 5 cars and 3 motorcycles, that's going to save me a lot of money.
Well, I'm going to park in my motorcycle right up her ass.
Nice. So we'll talk about next week the mini budget where the state of New South Wales has gone into deficit to the tune of $930 odd billion.
Oh, lovely.
Which is
how are we supposed to get
$1 million,
that
not billion. I think 930
But the good news,
million.
Pete,
sorry.
The good news.
B billion would be a real problem.
The good news is that we've so far kept our AAA rating.
Well, we have, and that's really important.
That's really important.
Who are we paying to get that AAA rating?
Standard and Poor's, I think. What's quite interesting about the AAA rating, and someone made a good point about this week, was the only point of having a AAA rating is when you want to borrow money. So if you're not borrowing money, what the fuck is the point?
You don't get the point, Pete.
Ah.
We're what is it, 900 billion in...
900 million.
900 million.
Yep.
In deficit.
So we've got to borrow money.
Borrow money.
Ah, true.
So what we need to do is...
No,
we
don't.
Any more money, otherwise
we
can't borrow money.
We don't, because we're selling most of New South Wales assets.
We are. Joe Tripodi will get a good deal. He'll get us a good deal.
No. That. We'll get a good deal for Joe Tripodi.
Yeah.
I reckon that.
Apparently they're putting the Sydney Harbour foreshore on eBay.
Ah, nice. Yeah. I've heard that.
And the Maldives have already got the first bid.
The Maldives have got the... They're going to snipe the whole thing.
And now it's time for...
Richard's science segment.
Science segment. Wow, that goes back, doesn't it? That's not funny. Okay. That goes back, doesn't it? Well, that's a long time. Is that one of the oldest segments so far?
No,
I know they're older segments, but the fact that it's been brought back.
Or Broomball's back next week. That's all right.
Yeah.
We'll be back at Skill Sports next week.
You'll be doing Elvis sightings next week. This is a
Have you heard of this thing called the internet?
No, what is it?
Oh, well, I'll tell you about it next week.
Oh, fantastic. The going back to the US election, can I be the first? Is that seriously?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No. I tried to get this segment in 20 minutes ago.
He kept on talking about the bloody...
20 minutes ago!
I didn't read how to go for 30 seconds and he does like 5 freaking minutes of it.
So what happened in Richard's science segment this week?
Well, there was some science and stuff and some things were invented.
Oh, you know what I heard?
And people with games?
You can park your bike in the city for free.
I heard that. And you're meant to go to a pub where the Danes hang out.
Yeah.
I had 5 science articles.
Well, you can do
to
them.
Make up for the 5 years that it hasn't been on for.
Well, you've got 10 seconds for each one. Hurry up.
So on next week's show, we'll be doing that. Is that correct?
For an hour and a half. Nice.
You know the good thing.
Oh no, I've got to do Broomball. I've got to fit that in. That's
an hour
important.
15 then.
Thank you.
It'll give you a chance to read the
hour 15. An hour 15.
Yeah.
That's useful. See, at this point, what would be really funny is if I sung that song.
If you sing that song, I will stick him up your ass. With this.
Can I sing along? I can't actually sing because I can't hear
yes,
it.
You can. You can go. There is nothing like a Dane. Nothing like a Dane. A Dane.
I'm not going to do it. I don't trust him because he would actually insert me quite violently into an orifice that you don't even have. And Recto Jesus cannot clear that.
Nothing like a Dane. There is nothing like a Dane.
I got nothing here. I'm
still
looking
at them. Nothing like a Dane. Nothing like a Dane. A Dane. A Dane. A Dane. Or a dyke. Is nothing.
Have you been to
the
Netherlands
too? A Dane. A Dane.
And there is nothing like a Dane. Nothing in the whole world.
Oh, you're in deep shit. And then, of course, there's the town bike.